Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN, 9 minutes after 9 o'clock with John Landecker. We're returning to the DNA of Chicago and my jam knuckle. Al, do you pronounce your last name Mag?
Yes, sir.
Al Mag. All right, Al. Welcome to WGN. Tell everybody who you are. Come on.
I am the co-founder of the 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame, the Chicago 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame. And we've been around for 25 years. In fact, we're celebrating that fact on Sunday at the museum where it's located in Forest Park. And so we're pretty excited about that. So I've been, I'm a Chicagoan forever, but yep. I now live in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Well, you know, that's where spring training is. So
yes, I mean, I go to all their games, absolutely.
For some people, that's where 16-inch softball spring training is. I kid. So,
well, we played a little bit out here.
I'm sure. So I also heard that the Chicago Park District this summer is resuming its annual co-ed adult 16-inch softball tournament after a 10-year hiatus.
Well, I think it's awesome that they're doing this. I guess for some reason, we had mayors in the past that actually played softball, like Mayor Daley and his son. In fact, I believe he played center field a long time ago, the mayor. And I know his son played, but I guess as time went on, people just didn't feel like making the sport continue for the kids and so on. But three or four young people right now have said, you know, why aren't we playing this? All it takes is a bat and a ball, and there's a lot of people out there. And put the cell phones down and electronic games, and let's get out there and do something. And I think this is a wonderful program. And I hope they're very successful. And I know they're very excited about it because they want to keep it going. There's other avenues for this. There's corporate teams could play, co-eds, just women play, and so on. There's all kinds of different levels of softball. And the most important thing is people just play the game and have fun. You don't have to be great. You just go out there and play other people that enjoy it. And I think the theory of what they're trying to do, and they're going to be doing this on the championship games are going to be on Saturday, the 24th of July at Humboldt Park.
Right.
And in fact, if you can't be there for it, one of our great ambassadors for the Hall of Fame, his name is George Bliss. George will be there, and he will be streaming it live for them. So in some form or another, we're going to see how good these teams were.
So these teams, are they already formed? Are they forming now? When is all the tournament games begin?
I think some of the preliminaries are this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And then they're playing three areas, north, south, and in the middle of the city. And I don't know how many teams they have at this point in time.
Right.
But as far as I'm concerned, if they got eight, that's enough for me. I mean, that's
sure.
Just start up again. And I hope that they're, as I said, really successful because it's the sport is starting to grow. There's been a time when it did slow down a little bit, but I think it's starting to grow. We're starting to see it played by a lot of social clubs in town. We are definitely seeing a lot more diverse people playing, women, blacks, Hispanics, so diversity, that's what our city's all about. A lot of different cultures. That's how the game started. Started in the 1800s, 1900s. People were they're moving to Chicago and they were looking for something to do and they started playing the game and it was something easy to do.
Right on. That's absolutely a great description of what this thing is all about. I do want to get to, a little bit later in this half hour, the first book on the history of 16-inch softball, The Greatest Game on Dirt, which you have put together. which will include, I'm going to ask you probably a lot of questions in a few minutes that are going to be answered in your book, but I'll ask them anyway. Let's get back to the origin. Go back and tell us about the very beginnings. Well, let's first of all, if people don't know, if somebody's listening far away from Chicago, explain what 16-inch softball really is.
Well, you know, a lot of people, you know, are talking about softball in general. You know, the 12-inch ball, they see the girls play with fast pitch and so on, and the guys are out there, and they're, it's, to me, 12-inch softball is like home run derby. Everybody gets up there and hits it as far as they can and hard as they can. And I've been told by some folks it's just home run derby. In my opinion, 16-inch softball, a few other people said the same thing. It's a thinking man's game because the ball doesn't go as far. And the reason the ball is 16 inches is in Chicago, when the game started to be popular in the early 20s, our fields, think about our fields, our parks are small. And a lot of people played in schoolyards. And those are small. So if you had a 12-inch ball or a league ball, it'd go out of the park every time somebody hit the damn thing.
Yeah,
so
and you know, it would break a window in the school. That has happened.
Oh, absolutely. No, yeah, I'm pretty sure I probably did that.
Yeah, and, I know, I did, yeah.
I played on gravel when I was growing up in Farnsworth School on the north side. And that's how you played. You just played with your friends, and sometimes it's pitcher's hands out and nobody in right field or whatever, and you pick sides with the bat, and you just had a good time, and whoever won probably got to win a Coke or something, and then you went back out and played. So that's what you did all day long. But bottom line is, the sport has been really part of our whole heritage, because it started in 1887 at the Farragut Boat Club. That would be south. It doesn't exist anymore, of course, because it was landfill now. And it was south of Soldiers Field and McCormick Place. And the cool thing about it, it was a bunch of guys hanging around at the club were from Harvard and Yale. It was a Thanksgiving day in 1887, and here they are bored, waiting for the ticker tape score of the game. It wasn't on TV yet. And so here it is. They're bored. Somebody wrapped up a boxing glove. And we've done that. In fact, we have one in our museum. It turns out to be almost 16 inches in size. Uh-huh. And they started hitting it around with a broomstick. And they started playing baseball. And then eventually they had such a good time. Somebody won 48-47 or something like that. But they came back and started making it a serious game. And they chalked in the, everything was done in gymnasiums for a very long time. So the theory of softball, just the word softball and the whole game, started in Chicago in 1887. That's something people probably have no clue about that. So we, as Chicagoans, we should take pride in it. And then as time started taking it outdoors, were in the late 1800s. And then in the early 1900s, they really started playing outdoors. More than anything. And again, that's back to that comment I made about the fields are too small. So the ball stayed 16 inches in size in Chicago. And that's how it was played. And eventually there was a national championship played for the first time in 1933 during the Century of Progress. And they found out there were like 50 teams from the United States playing in this thing. And they were playing with different size balls, 12-inch, 14-inch, 16-inch, 17-inches. I think they play in New Orleans, and that's called cabbage ball. But they finally agreed to make it easy for everybody. They agreed on 14-inch ball at the time. So that was at the Century of Progress. So now the sport became a national thing. And then you had World War II, and now the servicemen were starting to play softball. And it just started growing and growing, the sport of softball. 16-inch seemed to stay in the Midwest, and eventually it started growing because servicemen moved that were from Chicago, and they wanted to keep playing the game. So somewhat in the 50s and 60s, the game started growing in other areas, especially Iowa would be one of the first ones, and California and so on.
And we're going to talk some more about the rules and the equipment, or lack thereof, on 16-inch softball when we come back after this break on 720 WGN. All right, 720 WGN 923 with John Landecker, talking to Al Magg, who is the expert on 16-inch softball, has a book coming out, The Greatest Game on Dirt. I want to make it clear to people who don't know, there are no gloves. There are no baseball gloves in 16-inch softball.
Well, 90% of the time. When they play national tournaments, they actually wear gloves.
Really?
To the demise of many folks, they hate it. At least Chicagoans sure do.
You bet.
And the reason for that is most of these folks have been playing 12-inch ball all their lives in other states. And for them to play without a glove is almost impossible. And so if we're going to get the game played, sometimes you have to bend the rules. And somebody did this a long time ago in the 70s and said, let's play with gloves. And I'm sure some of the folks that are playing the game today would like to find this guy and beat him up, but it is played with gloves sometimes, and there are a lot of good teams playing the game out of state in California, Arizona, and so on. So it's a great game. Yeah. And but usually if you're from Chicago,
you're
playing with no glove. Uh-huh. And you're going to play, probably have some bad fingers to show off for.
That's me.
And whether you're a guy or a girl, you got bad fingers.
I got bad fingers. I got them right here. If you said it's in the DNA of Chicago, when you said we'd like to find that guy and beat him up, I mean, that is so Chicago in my mind. it doesn't get any better than that. Let's talk about this Hall of Fame, because I understand that our illustrious morning host, Bob Surratt, is a member of the 16-inch softball Hall of Fame, and I believe was inducted in like 2008 or somewhere around then?
Yeah, he's been an inductee for quite a while. I don't think he's in because of his playing ability. It is because he's such an ambassador for the game. He loved it. He is playing it forever on the previous radio stations, on TV, and so on. He was a tremendous supporter and still is of the game, and we love him. In fact, he was our first MC in 1996 when we had our first gala. And in fact, I'll tell you a story about that. We had 700 people at our first dinner, and one of the gentlemen there was Jack Brickhouse. And Jack... How I got involved with this in the first place, I did a video documentary in the mid-90s with Jack as the MC. And he was at this event, and he said, Al, I just attended the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame 2 or 3 weeks ago. They had all kinds of sponsors, and it was dull. You got 700 people here. You have no sponsors. This place is electric. Whatever you're doing, keep it going. Well, God bless Jack. Here we are 25 years later. Yeah. We're still doing it. So we're very proud of that, and we have asked, we're calling it a reunion on Sunday, and we have approximately 300 of our inductees are live. We've reached out to all of them as best we could, and at least 150 are coming. I'll bet you there's going to be more, and it'll be the largest contingency of inductees ever. So you're going to have some of the greatest athletes and organizers, men, women, media people. In the history of the game. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a delightful day. And it's going to be at Forest Park starting at noon. And we're going to have a Legends game at 2 o'clock or 2:15. And so if you want some of these guys and ladies play, maybe Serato will be out there playing. That would be very interesting, I hope. And we'll see what happens.
Oh, man. I just want to tell you right now, your comment about why Bob Surratt is in the Hall of Fame is going to be made into a promotional announcement on this radio station that, trust me, will be played over and over and over again, and I can't wait to hear it.
I knew I always get in trouble. Here we go again. Well, you know, seriously, Bob's in the I found a quote of his, and it's in the book. He said he's always wondered if it wasn't for softball, he might not have any friends. So I think that's, I know it's me. That's me for sure. I still have my friends back in the mid and late 50s and 60s, and that I still see every year and come back to Chicago and see these guys and ladies. And, you know, they're friends for life. And softball seems to be that common thread. Even when I moved out to the suburbs, played for a great industrial team called Molex, and we had a great time. And those guys are still my friends as well. So softball is again part of the culture of the city. You play, enjoy it, go to a bar afterwards, and when you play ball with a team for months, they become part of your family.
That's true.
And I wish more kids today played it. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make the game sustainable, and we love what the Park District is doing. And we're trying to do the same thing from our end. So we're very proud of what we've accomplished as a Hall of Fame. Our president, Ron Kubicki, Ray Topps, who made a beautiful museum. It looks great. If you haven't been there, it's definitely worth the trip. You can see a lot about Chicago. See some of the great Chicagoans who played, like Gary Sinise, Joe Mantegna, and so on. And in fact, the first black in the NBA, I mean, we always know about Jackie Robinson, but the first NBA player was Nate Sweetwater Clifton, and he was a star with the Brown Bombers back in the 40s, and he's a great player with the New York Knicks. So there's all types of little stories going on throughout the book that just make the game come alive a little bit.
Well, thank you, Al. Thank you so much for being with us. Al Magg, co-founder of the 16-Inch Softball Hall of Fame, and the book coming out soon, The Greatest Game on Dirt.